With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi everyone, thanks for downloading episode 189 of GigPod. As you can probably hear by the noise, we are indeed at Molly Malone's again, the home of the greatest Guinness in Glasgow and the home of GigPod. So I'm Stevie, and joining me for this special pre-match podcast, yes, you're getting 3-1, a pre-match, a half-time, and a post-match reaction to Celtic against Lazio in match day 2 of Group E in the Champions League for this campaign. Rizzo, hello from Molly Malone's.
Hello Stevie, hello everyone, and it's great to be back in good old Molly Malone's once more, a fantastic venue and of course the home of GigPod.
Indeed, right, so we're not going to do this for long anyway, maybe a wee prediction or two and we'll talk about the teams, but the teams have been announced, the Celtic lineup with Joe Hart in goal, Alistair Johnson at right back, centre-halves are Phillips and Scales with Taylor at left back, midfield three you can probably imagine is Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate. Front three, Daiza Maeda, Kyogo, and a bit of a surprise one with Yang, because that was the first one you talked about, John, where you were surprised that he started. Why so?
Well, I thought Palmer would get the nod, especially after he scored that goal on Saturday. I mean, I didn't think he was brilliant, but he scored a goal, which would have given him a lot of confidence. I thought Yang was pretty quiet against Motherwell. In fact, he got took off at half-time after only 45 minutes, replaced by James Forrest. So I'm a bit surprised, but obviously Brendan will have his reasons. We don't know them as yet because we've not heard. But yeah, Nat Phillips, I expected to start, and I think, as I said on the podcast the other day, that's why he featured in the second half of the Motherwell game. And the other big team news is that for the first time since August, CCV's back. He's on the bench. Brendan did say yesterday that he was fitter than people thought. No fit enough to start the game, obviously, but he is at least on the bench, which is great news. And we've got one more game left, obviously, before the international break, Saturday against Kilmarnock. We'll talk about that more in the next pod. But I would be hoping the CCB, if he doesn't get some game time tonight, will get some game time on Saturday.
And we're hearing out Molly's, and they are showing the Atletico Madrid and final game. It's currently 3-2 to Atletico. And as it stands now, they're top on 4 points, final on 3. Lazio, of course, on 1 point, and ourselves, for the moment, on 0. John, we were both in complete agreement that this is a game we have to win. I don't think a draw is a disaster, but it's a must-not-lose game. I think if we lose this, then we can say cheerio to our Champions League hopes for the rest of the campaign. I think it's going to be so miserable, so I really hope that... And it will be, and I know we obviously kind of criticise Celtic in Europe after last season, but we're still going to anyway. If, of course, we don't put on a show tonight... Sincerely hope that is not the case, but I think you, John, would agree that the game against Lazio tonight, if we lose that, it's just a complete disaster.
Yeah, I would even say that if we lose this game, I think we'd, even after two games, it'd be difficult for us to finish third in the group, because we'd be 4 points behind Lazio, 3 behind Feyenoord, 4 behind the Atletico as it stands, and no one to do down Celtic. I mean, I think this is a decent Celtic team in a rebuild phase, but I just can't see us getting much joy in the two games against Atletico, which are the next two games in the Champions League for us. So I think it's a huge game for us. It's one that we can't afford to lose. We don't want to have another Champions League campaign like last season where we end up being miserable through it and the listeners end up hating us, even though they usually love us. But no, I mean, it's a big test for us tonight. We're still not playing that well. We're playing a Lazio team who aren't playing that well either. We've only won one, I think, game this season, but it was against Napoli. Two games.
They've won one of the last five.
They're not in good form. I mean, they did beat Napoli, though, who obviously are the champions of Italy. I think it'll be a difficult game, but I mean, Lazio probably thinking about the same about us. They'll be thinking, this Celtic's going to be a hard game. Obviously, the atmosphere, which away teams love because they can patronise us after they beat us. But no, I think it's going to be a I don't know, a tough game. I just hope we turn up and don't do our usual in Europe. The three rules in Europe: don't give away a goal early on, don't give away a goal then, give away a goal a minute later, and don't miss sitters. And there's a new rule: don't get any players sent off after the last game either.
When you look at that Celtic team, who do you fancy to do the business tonight? Who do you think will be the danger man? Because I'm looking at Real Hitati simply because against Feyenoord, I thought he was appalling, and I'm going to say it, he was very poor. People might not want to hear that, and people might think, oh, you're being out of order. I don't think I am. I thought he was really bad against Feyenoord. I'm expecting him to show up tonight, and I think if he is on form, John, we could have a bit of joy against Lazio.
Well, for me, it's Matt O'Reilly. Everybody knows how well he's playing now. 5 goals already this season. Somehow left out of the Denmark squad for their latest games in the Euro qualifiers. I think he's the best player in Scotland now. And also, I think Dyson's always decent in Europe. He wasn't great the other day, but he works so hard, you can always expect him to have an impact in the game. I thought he was good against Feyenoord. And obviously, Kyogo is still not scoring for us in the Champions League. I thought he had a quiet game against Feyenoord. Surely it's set up for him to finally find the back of the net in the Champions League for us.
Yeah, so prediction time, and I'm going to go away in my heart. It's 2-0, right? But I think realistically in my head it's going to be a 2-each draw. Hope I'm wrong, and I hope Celtic do the business and get 3 points. But as long as we don't get beat, I just get the feeling it's going to be just where defence not being as strong as it should be, and the goalkeeper situation, as we know. Let's not forget that. I think it's going to be a 2-each draw.
If CCB was fit and starting, then I think we'd win, which just shows how important he is for us. Even if he was playing alongside Phillips or Scales, he's that good. I mean, I think it'll be a hard game, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Celtic win, a rare Champions League group stage win for us.
Okay, well, I guess we'll be talking at half time to see where our predictions have went, John. And just for the audience as well, you're obviously watching a game with me. First Celtic game at home you've been watching with me. In fact, when was the last game we watched together at home? Obviously, I'm not going tonight, so I've given away my ticket. But I'll be going
what a hero you are.
Thank you. I'll be going to the other two. But I'm thinking, have they watched a home game?
We've watched games in Europe with each other before.
Never at Celtic Park though.
No, never at Celtic Park. We've watched obviously derbies at Hampden and at Ibrox, and we've watched loads of league games right. And that together, but none, this is the first one.
You can go and get a dessert at the bar then to celebrate that one, John. A nice big cake or something.
Right, I'm away to get my cake, and we'll speak to you at half time.
Right, so we're here at half time, just outside Molly Malone's. It is bouncing, John, but you wouldn't expect anything less from one of the best pubs in Glasgow, especially the Home of Gig Pod.
Absolutely not. The Home of Gig Pod and Guinness and Coors, those great drinks. Molly Malone's, thank you.
Thanks for that. Yeah, so we're just going to do some quick half-time thoughts. Again, we're going to keep it very brief for you all. But Celtic 1, Lazio 1. Poor goal we concede, but let's talk up the good goal that we actually did score. And I did want to say that the ball from Matt O'Reilly was so similar to the ball that he played for Burnaby against Bilbao. The James Forrest testimonial, really good bit of quick thinking, and that's what I was saying, John, is when we're watching that game, you know, the quick movement, but the first time passes are like sort of drawing Lazio out of position. We need to be doing more of it, because even we are, we're getting into really good opportunities and good spaces and positions.
Yeah, I thought it was a great goal. It was Dyson with the pass to O'Reilly, a brilliant no look sort of and a winner pass to Kyogo, who finally scored the first Champions League goal for Celtic, as a hoped he would before the game, and it was a great goal, and Parkhead was bouncing, but we couldn't really take advantage of that, and we let Lazio back in.
Set piece disaster, wasn't it, where the fact that we allowed Lazio 2 free headers, the boy Vicini, who I think Dan was saying before the game was there ever present for Lazio, and one of the players to watch, gets the equaliser. And I think it was coming, John, because as much as we scored the goal, rattled Lazio for a while, they weren't passing the ball at the back and everything, they weren't looking comfortable. Slowly they started getting in the game, and a lot of that's down in midfield. I thought when they're on it, McGregor, Hitati and O'Reilly have been great, but the drop off, I think, with Hitati has let Lazio's midfield come into the game. They've been taking control a bit more, then they get a couple of opportunities, and then all of a sudden it's a goal for them. But I think you're expecting more for Real Hitati in general midfielder now.
Midfield's been an issue. I think defence has been okay for the most part.
Scales has been excellent.
He's been excellent apart from maybe one mistake that led to a shot that was a good save by Joe Hart, even though it was offside. But the biggest issue for me is that when we get in good positions, like in the final third, we keep making the wrong choices. Like Callum McGregor, who has been quiet, done a brilliant turn and was in loads of space towards the end of the half, but a wrong pass. I think Yang's been poor. I wouldn't have picked him. But I mean, there's chances for us in the second half, I think, but we need to keep making the right decisions and don't make the wrong ones, because they'll get chances as well, and they look sort of more settled in front of goal than us, I'd say. But 1-1's decent at half time, and hopefully we can cut out the mistakes and push on second half.
And before I ask you about who the star performer is in the first half so far, it has to be noted though as well that going in level is a bonus, because typical Celtic, normally we're like, we were just waiting on a sucker punch for Lazio in the injury time or something at that point in the first half. So we are getting there, John, slowly.
Yeah, we didn't concede a goal, which would, another goal, which would have been just dreadful. So no, I mean, we're still well in it, and the manager's got some big decisions to make. He'll need to bring on substitutes, obviously. I'm not sure who they'll be, but that's how he earns his money, so we'll just need to wait and see.
And I'm going to say the first half performer in the game so far, I think you're going to probably go with the fair. I'm going to say Dyson Maeda. He made a pretty poor decision at one point out in the right, but other than that, I think he's been excellent. He's been a real thorn in Hysaj, the, I think he's the Lazio left back. He's signed to, actually. So to me, I'm butchering names a bit like you.
Yes.
But no, I'm going to go with Dyson Maeda. I think so far he has definitely been the man in the match, just ahead of
Matt O'Reilly.
I thought you were going to say Liam Scales.
No, Matt O'Reilly's been excellent for me. I mean, that pass for the goal was brilliant, and he looks like a guy that can play at a high level. A lot of these Celtic players, I don't think, look good enough to play in the Champions League, but he does, and I think he'll be key for us second half.
Right, well, I guess we'll talk to everybody at full time then.
See you after the game.
Right, it's full time. Celtic 1, Lazio 2. Match day 2 of 6 in Group E in this season's Champions League. And John, the one thing we did say before the game was that no matter what tonight, we just couldn't afford to lose. Now, in the 5th minute of injury time, Pedro headed in a winner. We've got no points for 2 games when, realistically, and just being honest here, we are where we are because of the lack of quality, but that is a slow one to take, isn't it?
No, as I thought we played well second half. We limited Lazio. I believe with that header was probably the only real chance in the second half. And
well, no, the Felipe Anderson effort.
Well, that, but he fell. We didn't even get a shot.
They had a shot for long range, which Joe Hart made a really good
save. That was, well, I mean, I wouldn't count them as real chances. We had that Hatate free kick saved. We had the goal disallowed, which we'll talk about in a minute, and then just giving away a goal in the 95th minute, just single, and to me it's just ended of European hopes for any European competition after 2 games. We're already 4 points behind Lazio, 4 behind Atletico because they beat Feyenoord 3-2 earlier, and 3 behind Feyenoord, who's obviously got a better head-to-head. So I mean, it'll take some miracle if we finish 3rd, and we've got Atletico twice in the next 2 games, and all I can see is 2 defeats. I mean, I know it sounds despondent because I thought we'd have played well tonight, but it's just the same old story. But this was a new way to lose Europe, because this is the first time we've had a goal disallowed under VAR, and then we give away a ridiculous last minute winner, CCV, of all people giving away the ball.
Never been that deflated with a home defeat in Europe since the Bayern Munich one. They had, like, I remember Bayern Munich in 2017, I think.
2018.
Like, was it
2017? Yeah, sorry.
They had like 5 big players out. We dominated. We could give away a ridiculous goal. Thank you, Craig Gordon. Brought away back into it with a brilliant goal thanks to Callum McGregor after brought him up with James Forrest. And I thought we were going to hold out and maybe go out and win, because it's what we really deserved. We were brilliant that night, again, against a weakened Bayern team. And they went up the park and scored within like 2 minutes or something, and I thought, yeah, I'm not comparing Lazio to Bayern,
no,
but it was such a killer that night, and I feel just as bad tonight. I mean, that is done us tonight.
Lazio were happy with a draw. They stopped attacking, really, until we just committed yet another football crime in Europe. I don't know, I mean, I don't even know what to think about Saturday against Kelly yet, which is the last game before the break. But I mean, I think it'll take a lot to get the players back, confidence back after that, because that is such a terrible defeat, which we, I don't want to have hard luck to lose, but we didn't deserve it. Lazio were satisfied with a draw, they stopped attacking.
I didn't see anything for Lazio to suggest that they were ever going to threaten or go up the park and score like that. I just can't get my head around CCV of all people.
No,
and I'm wondering tonight that should he have been on the park?
Like, no reason to be in midfield giving the ball away, or rather getting tackled and losing the ball. I mean, I don't know, he's such a great player. That was his first appearance in, I think, like 6-7 weeks. So
that
was
bring,
all,
like,
always
bring,
a gamble.
Do you bring like, sort of anything mentally into that? The fact that he's been out for so long and thrown him into a big game there again in like 60 minutes or so?
I don't know. Broge obviously didn't think Phillips was fit enough to complete the game because he's hardly played either. It's just an absolute gutter. It's a
kind of changes really the whole trajectory of the pod as well. Because if that was one each, we're going to say right there, we still got a chance to do something in Europe. A deserved result. Arguably, should have probably won the game. A draw would have been, I guess, a fair result. We're probably a bit more positive after that. And I don't really want to feel like I'm hammering the team, hammering the manager. They don't deserve it. But ultimately, John, losing 2-1 at home in a game that, as I say, the whole second half, Lazio, arguably the whole game, Lazio didn't really threaten. And they scored 2 goals at Celtic Park. They've run away with 3 points, and you wonder like how much of that is just down to the mentality there.
Yeah, that's probably a fact. I mean, we are crap in Europe. Let's not make any bones about it. But we've not won a knockout tie since 2004 in a tournament. I mean, like a last 32, last 16 knockout tie.
What about Champions League? When was it? Was it the Ajax game then in 2013?
Yeah, we've not won a game at home in the group stages for 10 years.
It's sickening, man.
We've only won like 2 away games ever in the group stages. I know Newcastle get men money then, obviously, but there's a team like Newcastle who's been like doing nothing in Europe for years, and they go and beat PSG 4-1 tonight. I mean, you can't really compare us because of the money, but we shot ourselves in the foot tonight. I mean, we better talk about the disallowed goal as well.
Can I also just say fair play to good old Molly Malones, of course, in Hope Street in Glasgow. Not only taking the game off and putting the darts on, but also making sure that the music is turned up and people are trying to enjoy themselves despite that result. So thanks to them.
It's not even Gary Anderson, my favourite darts player, unfortunately, but there you go. But no, I mean, the other big moment in the game was when, I think, 81st minute, we thought we took the lead, when Palmer, we thought he scored his second goal for Celtic with a low drive into the bottom of the net. But everybody in the pub went ballistic. Palmer done a good celebration. He took his shirt off, which he still gets a yellow card for.
Is that what you loved about it, aye?
Of course. What a guy, great abs. As a gym goer, I respect it. he still gets that booting. By the way, VAR really should have looked at that punch in the face that I got in the first half, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. I don't know. It's not an excuse, of course.
No, but they should have.
There's a consistency there.
Exactly. But I mean, like, we thought Palmer had scored, but it turned out that Dyson had touched it in the build-up. He sort of went back to overhead kick it, and he just had the faintness of touches. So that meant that Palmer was offside because he didn't have field of play, and the team still kept going. Though we never really created that many chances. I mean, there was the free kick, which was well worked, and Johnson hit the rebound over the bar. But just giving away that goal is an absolute killer. It's just absolutely...
I can tell when you were tonight, you're deflated. I think, you know, as soon as the full-time whistle went, everybody in this pub just disappeared.
I want to go home and go to bed.
I do too, but sadly I've got to edit this great podcast.
What a hero you are.
Thank
but I mean,
you.
What I have to say is I'm going to be... I know that we'll get slagged for this and I'll be a bad Celtic fan, but I've got no interest now in watching the rest of the Champions League games. I will watch them all.
I don't know. I'm being realistic. I don't think we'll get a point against Atletico Madrid in both games. I would say we're going to even struggle to get a goal against them.
If it wasn't for Gigpod, I wouldn't have watched them.
Would have been played. But no, look, I'm still going to go. I'm still going to hope that the team can pull off a miracle.
No,
there.
You did say earlier, off pod, I think it was off pod, I said you're meant to be going to the final game. Would you go if that game was a dead rubber? I think it will be.
Well, I've paid for it now, so yeah, I will. But if it's a dead rubber, then the only reason I'll be going is to hopefully see us. I don't care if it's a meaningless game or not.
We need a win just to get the, like, 10 years without a win at home in the Champions League. It's ridiculous.
And bear in mind, just, I mean, like, I know we're not thinking about it, but the club still get bonuses financially from that type of thing as well.
The club gets like £2 million or £3 million for every win we get in the Champions League. So we're losing out in money.
But even though
that's more money we can hold.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So we can put it in the bank and show off about it and do nothing with it. But even that, I mean, the one player that, you know, we were saying with Joe Hart and Greg Taylor, we needed better than getting into the Champions League campaign. And I think Joe Hart let us down against Feyenoord, but tonight he had nothing to do. But yeah, he still picks the ball out the back of the night twice.
One long range save in the second half, and that's it. And look, CCV, he's such an amazing player. And it's him that makes the big mistake. Just unfathomable, really. And I'm sure the Gig Pod listeners can tell we're really deflated
that's
and miserable.
We can't really analyse.
I can't even be cheered up by the fact they're playing Bruce Springsteen and good old Molly Malone.
It's hard to analyse that type of game. I get like, you're just looking at that, and anybody watching it would say Celtic were fully deserving of the point.
We didn't deserve. Like, at least against Feyenoord, we were stupid, and you can say we deserve to lose because we're stupid. And,
totally controlled
but,
that game.
I mean,
game,
this
tonight.
Game, like, even the first goal we gave away was daft. Like, two headers. We shouldn't be giving away two headers in our own penalty box. And just, I don't know. If it was a draw, we could at least, like, have something to go into. Like, Lazio would only be a point ahead of us. We could still have a chance. But no. No. I can't believe we're probably done in Europe after two games.
I actually don't know if we'll do another one like this again, by the way, because I like to watch the goals back, watch the game back, and not analyse it, but rationalise it. But just watching that on Raw tonight, seeing the reaction of everybody in the pub, and the only saving grace I've got to say here is I'm glad I wasn't at Celtic Park for that, because the poor guy in front of me, when that goal went in, would have probably been after his work with like a broken spine or something, how hard I would have kicked the seat, because that would have absolutely done me. Really, really good guy that I gave the ticket to is away, and he's bigger and taller than me, none of that's a surprise. But I hope he didn't react terribly and I'm banned for the final game or something, or the Atletico game for my ticket. It might be a good thing actually, John.
Yeah, I'm glad we never done that plan initially, me, you and Dan, to go to a game each.
No, it's been a masterstroke of decision making for us.
Aye, but no, it's just a right gutter the night, and I just hope it doesn't affect the team. I just hope they take the good things for tonight, that we actually played well and stood up to. I know they're not playing well than Lazio, but we stood up to them and we won the overall, and we really shouldn't have lost that game. And I just don't know how we managed to date again in Europe. We really are. I see that Brendan's getting an interview on the telly now. I'd be really interested to see what he says. But, and good old Molly Mullins, but no, this really is a bad one. It's much worse than losing 5-1 or something.
It is. You'd rather be cuffed and know that you were outclassed and, you know, you never really had a chance than lose like that, because it's just, I've never seen a reaction like that.
Even with a goal being disallowed, I mean, as soon as
I went to a goal check and I did say to you, he looks offside there because Dyson touched the ball, and just everything in that second half didn't deserve it. But ultimately, John, like, when we play SPFL teams in the league, say maybe they dominate against us, we get goals out of nothing.
You mean like last weekend?
The weekend there, I thought we generally controlled the game, but the things we do,
we can't let it be a hard, we can't, even though it is another hard luck story, we can't let that infect the season going forward. We've got too many big games ahead.
I don't think it will though.
Kamarnock on Saturday, we need revenge, especially as I'm going, I think. We've got Hearts and Hibs away next month, later this month, two big games. I mean, we're 7 points ahead in the league, we're in a good position. I just hope it doesn't affect the team, which I think it will affect the fans though. I mean, I would imagine Saturday be a pretty downbeat atmosphere after that.
Hopefully not, but listen, it's a downbeat atmosphere on this pod.
Sorry about that, listeners.
Genuinely sorry about this.
I think this is the one and only time we'll do a reaction in the pub after, because well, you're going the next two anyway.
I'm fucking deflated after that, and I guess this is a raw reaction. You know, when we talk about the Kamarnock game on the Sunday, I'm sure that we'll do our usual. You know, we'll watch the game back, and then
we'll be hilarious as usual.
Constructively talk about it. It's not going to be in the pub though, is it, John?
No, we're going to be doing that one over Zencastr. Not good old Molly Malone's this time, but thank you to them as usual for having us for this pod. The hospitality is great as ever. There's another Bruce Springsteen song on, yet another reason that Molly Malone's is the greatest pub. They constantly play the boss of Bruce Springsteen.
Right, well, I don't really need to say anymore. I'm absolutely gutted after that. I think every other Celtic fan listening to this isn't going to be a pick-me-up pod. It's just a raw reaction. Sorry, everybody. So I'm sure you'll say the same and do your outro.
It's Gig Pod in the Raw. That's what we should call the episode title.
Raw is War.
Great TV show. Yes, so thank you, Stevie. Thank you, Molly Malones. So what we'd like you to do now is subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. It's important for us. Get your pals, if they want to listen to a different Celtic podcast that takes a sideways glance at Celtic, get them to subscribe to the pod. Oh, this might not be the best one for them to listen to. Wait until Sunday's episode, where hopefully will be more fun. But that's what we want. We want many subscribers as possible on Spotify, on iTunes, on all the other podcast platforms. And you can leave us good reviews as well. That's important as well. But as many subscribers as possible. We want more and more as the season goes on for our many exciting plans between now and the end of the season. But yes, we will be back on Sunday after the Kilmarnock game. Hopefully, we're a bit more cheery. And then next week, we're going to have, I don't know, you and the guys will do yet another hilarious pod.
What's that called again? Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me. that great pod, yes. Which I will be on eventually, but not next week probably, because I'm so deflated after the night. But no, thank you to Mollers as ever. Great pub. Everybody should come here. Subscribe to the pod, iTunes, Spotify, all the other platforms. We want as many as possible. We'll speak to you all on Sunday. Hopefully no more hard luck stories like tonight was. Sorry it's not been as fun as usual, but that really was a sitting up the night. Speak to you all on Sunday. Thanks everybody for listening, and hail hail.
Social Podcast Network.